Amen. Well, hi. It's been 3 months. Will I remember how to preach? It's like riding a bike, right? I want to start by saying that I am very grateful to all of those who brought messages to you during the last 3 months, to Scott, to Grace, to Jason, and to Joel. I listened in to all those messages toward the end of my sabbatical, and I was impressed with the variety and the creativity, and I knew that you had been in good hands during the time that I was away. I also want to thank you as a congregation for being so welcoming and warm in speaking with each of them after the time they spent with us. Over and over and over again, they said of our congregation, that is one of the most warm and welcoming groups of people that we've ever been a part of, and that is because of you. That's because of the way that you emanate Jesus's love. And so thank you to you as a congregation for the way that you have loved and supported our guests as they've been with us during this time. One of the interesting parts about going away on sabbatical and coming back is if you want to be disciplined, and I was trying to be disciplined, you don't do any church work until you get back. The problem with that is when you first open your email the Monday that you return to the office, you dedicate an entire day to email. And then all of a sudden on Tuesday morning, you think to yourself, I have no idea what I'm going to preach on Sunday. Not just no sermon prepared, but not even an idea of a text or a title that I was going to bring to you. So I spent most of Tuesday writhing around in my office trying to figure out what would be good, what would be a gift to you, and what might sort of set the trajectory of what we were doing. It wasn't until Wednesday, as I kind of sifted through our life together for the last 21 years, that I just could not get my mind off of a series that we did 12 years ago here at Fletcher Hills. It was back in 2013, and we spent 51 weeks in the Gospel of John. 51 weeks, from January all the way to December, sinking all the way down into everything that John had to say about the life and ministry of Jesus. It's that self-revelation of Jesus woven together with this invitation to a way of life that is central to what we've been called to as Christians. And I couldn't shake this book, and I finally thought, look, I know we've done this before, but it's been 12 years. And I trust if you were here for that series 12 years ago, you might have forgotten a few of the things that we talked about during that time. And you might be able to sink a little bit deeper into the book this time as we make our way through. And if you were not here 12 years ago, I promise you this is an incredible adventure. The Gospel of John is so unique and it's so rich. And the way that Jesus reveals himself there is kind of serves as a recalibration of who it is that we follow as Messiah and the life that he's called us to, especially in a chaotic world like the world that we live in today. In the book of John, the series that 12 years ago was entitled Believe. And in the book of John, in John chapter 20, verse 31, he says this. He says, but these, and he's talking about the entire gospel, these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. John uses the word believe over 100 times in his gospel. He feels that once we truly see who Jesus is, just like those who surrounded Jesus back in that day, we will believe, and that will transform our lives, and we will want to live in the way that Jesus asks us to. And so let's begin the adventure today. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 13, as we get this series underway. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all humankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him.
Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children not born of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. Please pray with me. Lord God, we are so thankful to be gathered here in this space today. So thankful to be sitting among our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're thankful for this community and the way that you enliven us and the way that you move among us. We're thankful for the Word of God and the chance that we have to sink even deeper into our relationship with you as we learn more about you. And I pray at the outset of this new series that we begin today that we hear your invitation from these pages to draw even nearer to you than we've ever been before, to learn more about you than we've ever understood before, and to be able to trust and follow you with a tenacity and an adventure that we've never experienced before. As we get underway today, I ask that you give each of us eyes to see just what you want us to see in this text. I ask that you give us hearts that are soft and ready to receive whatever you choose to reveal this morning. And I pray that you give us conviction that's strong so we can apply what we see and understand to the way that we live for you every day. I pray all of these things, Jesus, in your name. Amen. One of the things that's really wonderful about the Gospel of John is that it is quite different than Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are known as the Synoptic Gospels, and the book of Mark is actually the source material for much of what you see in Matthew and Luke as well. But when you get to the Gospel of John, there's a lot of things that are different. John has a unique style. John has a unique vocabulary. John contains unique material that you won't find in any of the other Gospels. There are no parables in the book of John, no scenes of exorcism, but there are extended teaching discourses that are unique to that gospel. There's a discussion of signs that reveal who Jesus is as the Messiah all the way through, building through his life and ministry. John contains the wonderful I am statements of Jesus. John also begins very differently than the other gospels. There's no birth account. There's no baptism account, and yet, chronologically, the Gospel of John begins long before all the others. John reveals his Gospel's thesis in chapter 20, the verse I read a few moments ago. John's writing these things, detailing these things, describing these things, that we may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is God. Even the first two verses were packed with support for this thesis. Jesus was pre-existent, John tells us in the opening of this gospel. He was there with God at the creation of the world, and he was God. Now, life and light are two main descriptions of Jesus throughout the Gospel of John, and he includes them both here, right off the bat, at the beginning of his gospel. Life points back to what John has just described in verses 1 to 3, that Jesus is the source, literally the source of all creation. Now, light could be defined as a universal image of the illumination of the mind or understanding, but there's far more to it. The light that's being described in this gospel has a spiritual dimension. The light that Jesus brings is contrasted by spiritual darkness, what we sometimes call sin, the fall, the world, or unbelief. In contrast to this darkness, we read in Psalm 27, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." John tells us in verse 5 that Jesus has shone in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome his light. Some translations say that the darkness has not understood or comprehended the light, but that doesn't seem like the best translation given the context, because a struggle is described, a wrestling match of sorts. And so what really this should say is that the darkness has not overcome or extinguished the light of Jesus that came into this world. In talking about light in these opening verses, we can't help but think of the creation call of Genesis 1:3. Let there be light. That call was issued at the creation of the world, and it was issued again as Jesus entered the world. Now, John changes gears a bit in verses 6 to 8. He describes a witness who's testifying to Jesus' entrance into the world. That witness, John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the first prophetic voice for the people of God in over 400 years, and he came crying out, "The Messiah is still coming." They had had silence for all of those years, and some had begun to doubt that there really was a Savior coming. There really was a Messiah on the way. And in a sense, John, when he writes his gospel, is saying the same thing to us. He's saying the Messiah is still coming. And once again, in a world that feels like it's going sideways, a world that feels filled with chaos, a world with so much war and destruction, we need to hear that message too. We join Christians through the ages as we look at the Gospel of John to hear the reassurance that our Messiah is still coming. Now, in verses 10 to 13, we see a very brief summary of Jesus' earthly ministry. First of all, we're told that many rejected Jesus. Many rejected Jesus. And two kinds of rejection from two groups of people are mentioned very briefly in this section. In verse 10, we read of the world rejecting Jesus. And the world rejected Jesus through its indifference, its non-recognition of who Jesus was. And then in verse 11, we read about his own, speaking of the Jewish people rejecting Jesus. And their rejection came in the form of the cross. So many rejected Jesus, we're told. But we're also told that some received him. In verses 12 and 13, John says, "Those who received him by faith and believed in his name," which is literally accepting the full extent of Jesus' revelation, "those who received him by faith and believed in his name were given the right to become children of God." This is the opportunity to become part of his family. And as I know Scott emphasized to you a number of times from Romans 8, there is an inheritance involved. And being a part of this family means that we are also promised the inheritance. We're reminded at the end of verse 13 that none of this happens automatically. It doesn't happen because of our natural descent. It doesn't happen because somebody else wills it to happen in our lives. Each person makes a decision for themselves. They consider who Jesus is, and they consider the life that he calls us to, and then they decide, will I follow? Will I believe? And my question for you this morning is, what about you? For many of you in this room, you made that decision years ago. You said, I believe who Jesus said he was, and therefore I'm going to follow after him and the way of life he describes in the Gospels. There may be some sitting in this room who haven't answered that question yet. You're still weighing Jesus. You're still weighing his claims. You're still weighing his way of life. Whether you've said yes or whether you still are deciding, this gospel and the time that we are going to take to work our way through it, to soak in what it reveals, to consider Jesus' claims and the way of life that he has called us to, it's going to be the best place for us to be. It's going to give us the clearest picture of what God desires for us. And I hope for all of us that it creates a wonderful adventure that draws us deeper to the heart of Jesus. Now, this is just a snapshot, just an overview at the beginning of the gospel. As we make our way further in, we're going to continue to see the distinctions in this gospel, the philosophical way that John writes. We're going to continue to find stories that we don't find in any of the other gospels. And we're going to be called to put ourselves in that place to see what Jesus is doing and saying in more detail, perhaps, than we ever have before. I'm thrilled for this adventure. I hope that we will all be transformed in the process. Toward that end, would you please pray with me? Lord God, this gospel is such a gift. It approaches this entire idea of our faith and practice in such a unique fashion. We can see John reaching into the ultimate realities of Jesus there at the creation of the world and see that he wasn't just some man who lived for 33 years in this world, but he was pre-existent. He was with God. He was God. And so as we begin this time in the Gospel of John, I pray for each of us that we would settle down, that we would hear the words that he shares, that we would seek you in brand new ways, and that you would reach for us and pull us into an even deeper understanding of you and a deeper relationship with you. I pray all of these things in your name. Amen.